What's up, everybody? It's Coach Steve. This is the Cornerstone Athletics Podcast. Yes, that's Kanye West in the background, or Ye, whatever he goes by these days. I'm in a good mood, an oddly good mood today. Hopefully this is a norm, but I'll turn it down a little bit. There's a story behind that song, I promise. Hold on, let me cut it. Oh, man, there's a story behind that song. Not only is that one of my favorites from Kanye, but I was thinking today for some reason, I was cleaning off my desk and I was putting my bowl rings up and I had some music playing and that came on. And, you know, I don't know if you guys have ever, you know, had that moment where like you just have a random flashback memory, or you see something or you touch something and it takes you back to like, oh man, that was a crazy, or whatever the experience was. So for me, I'm putting the bowl rings up, trying to get my desk organized. And, just so happens as I'm putting those up, that song comes on, and I kid you not, one of the four funniest stories from my college football experience. And, you know, I'll change the names to protect the innocent, but, you know, we would do a lot of meetings for any of my, you know, former athletes, former college athletes. I know my pro athletes know this too, but, you know, especially college athletes, you do a lot of meetings, and, you know, you'll have your position meetings, and you will, let me back up for my folks who need some help following. So in season, let's say, we would have Mondays off. Tuesdays, we would have our practices, our hard, quote unquote, hard practices. Wednesdays, a little lighter. We would just have our shoulder pads and helmets. Thursdays was run through. And then, you know, Friday we would meet, travel, whether we were staying in Columbia or getting on a plane, going somewhere, right? Saturday we played a game. Sunday we would meet, you know, and kind of do whatever. But on all of those days, you're meeting. So like, you know, Mondays you have a quick meeting, get the film for the following week. You get the breakdown, you know, whatever, whatever. Tuesdays you would meet before you'd have your position meetings. And then you'd have a little team meeting, and then you'd go to practice. Same thing Wednesday. Thursdays, though, were a little different because it was a light practice, kind of a run through. And we usually were always going to get a speech of some kind, get us motivated, have a great last practice before we travel. Fridays, we would get another speech to get us fired up, if you will. And it's a blur. This is like 20 years, 15, whatever it is, 20 years ago. But anyway, the point is, if you have ever been in a meeting at a job, right, corporate office, education, you name it, it's a meeting. This is our business meeting. And how we would be ordered in the meeting room, the team meeting room, is like the seniors, upperclassmen sat in the front. Usually, definitely the seniors sat in front, and then upperclassmen kind of fading back to the young guys. And then the coaches were sitting in the back, kind of at the top. And we were sitting down in this meeting, and everybody's quiet. Coach is up there talking, and he's doing his thing, giving this speech, blah, 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 you know, whatever. And all of a sudden, and I'll never forget it, because this is back for my folks that are my age, young folks, if you're listening to this, you'll have no idea what I'm talking about, probably. This was back when ringtones were like the thing. And if you're listening and you don't know what a ringtone is like, instead of the standard, you know, or whatever the ring, you know, when your phone rings, phones came with them, or you could buy them and you could, you know, basically pick your favorite song. You could put them on your text messages. So every time a text message came through, it could play a little tune, all of this stuff. That was a big thing back in whatever year this is. I can't even remember, but there was a big deal. Ringtones were a thing. I think Soulja Boy had the most popular ringtone, but everybody had one. Every musician that you liked and enjoyed, people would chop their music up, make ringtones, and it was kind of a money-making thing too. So anyway, we're in the meeting. Coach is up there, you know, doing his thing. And then all you hear is, oh. And you could hear a pin drop. Outside of how quickly heads were turning, you could hear a pin drop as that can't tell me nothing music played. And so, you know, I was too close for comfort, but I didn't get in trouble, thankfully. But it was one of those where I was close enough where people were looking at me. And I'm looking at people like it ain't me. And it was the, oh my goodness. If the guy who the culprit, if they're listening, I hope they're laughing, because we are still laughing to this day, because we, he didn't move. Like, so his phone is going off and he did not move. Like that phone was magically going to turn off. And Coach tore him a new one. Oh my gosh, it was so funny. You know, he was a senior upperclassman. I don't remember if he was a captain or not, but it was hilarious. He got thrown out of the meeting. So then we break camp, and then his coach is going off on him because Coach is going off on him. It all trickles down. But anyway. I wanted to play that for y'all, because I was that warmed my heart, just that memory of that happening. So I didn't say any names. I don't remember saying any names, so everybody's identity is still safe. But that was funny, man. And one of the beautiful things about sports and the experience that comes with it is you just get some cool memories if you're blessed. So anyway, now that I'm off my, you know, story time, if you will. Let's catch up real quick. Didn't do one last week. We were kind of coming down off of I don't want to say a high, but just regular season ended. So I'm gonna give a brief recap, and then I'm gonna talk to you about something that I'm putting together for the next, you know, probably three episodes that kind of ties into our philosophy, Cornerstone Athletics. So had our final qualifier of the regular season. And if you're just tuning in, first time listening, we're based in Kansas City. My girls play volleyball at a high level for their age group. And, you know, we're finishing up another year with the goal to be in a position to win a national championship. And so the regular season is over. My 11-year-old, they got their qualifier, their national qualifying bid earlier in the season. At the first qualifier they went to, my 12-year-old, they secured their bid, the first qualifier of the season in March down in Florida. And then they won two other qualifiers. And then going into this last weekend, they had an opportunity to win four qualifiers in a row. And then my oldest, you know, they had, you know, been just on a tear this whole season. It's been a blessing. It's been really awesome to see the success that they've had, because it came through hardship and adversity and just challenges that this group of coaches, parents, and athletes had to face together to get them to have the success that they're having now. And, you know, this was the opportunity for them to win their first qualifier. So we get into the weekend and, you know, we're playing some great volleyball. This part of the year, because, you know, it's even when you know people in other sports, it's hard to, for me anyway, to paint the picture of that pressure or tension as you get towards the end of a regular season, if you're on one of the teams that are trying to pursue nationals, right? I know there's a lot of different, you know, there's rec level, there is, In volleyball, there's select level, and then there's premier, and then there's different levels within those divisions, you know. So you might have a ones team in the select division, twos team in the select division, and you'd have the same kind of, you know, correlating thing in the premier division. So we are in the midst of a stressful time for some teams because, you know, if your goal is to get a bid to go to nationals and qualify for nationals and you don't have one and you're running out of real estate for opportunities to get one, you're getting caught between a rock and a hard place. So, you know, you saw a lot of teams playing some desperate volleyball, some good volleyball, but just urgent, which is cool to see. You see a lot of teams coming from places that you wouldn't imagine. So, you know, being that this one was in Kansas City, it was interesting to me. And I could be wrong. I don't remember this many Florida teams traveling to Kansas City this late in the year. But, you know, I mentioned this before. You know, when you let your barriers down, if you will, when you, you know, just kind of, I say let the spirit move, you just start to meet people, right? You see, especially at the higher levels, the teams that, you know, continue to play in the tougher divisions, the field gets a lot smaller. So you'd see the same group, maybe two or three different tournaments, right? So you just start to talk to people and get to understanding. And there were some folks that were like, yeah, man, we're hunting for that bid. We didn't have it on the you know, this was a tentative plan and we're hoping to leave Kansas City with a bid. And there's some particulars I won't go into about how the bids trickle down and all of this kind of stuff. But, you know, you got folks traveling thousands of miles for an opportunity to be able to qualify for nationals. So we get into it and we're playing great. You know, across the board, like I said, my youngest, their team is a juggernaut, you know, and I've told you guys before, anytime you hear me talk, I'm forthright, I'm objective, right? If they were not, I would not say that, I promise you, even with a daughter on the team. So they're solid, man, and they're tough, and they've been tough all season. I think they've only lost two games. Anyway, it doesn't matter. They haven't lost a lot. And so they were taking care of business, got a little bit of pressure. And they were able to win their second qualifier, which was pretty sweet. It's always cool. If you've never experienced that, I hope you get to experience that or even just a tournament. You know, I know, unfortunately, we all have a different experience. And, you know, there are some folks, we were down in Texas a few weeks ago, and you know, I was moving around the hotel and, you know, I stopped to have a little beverage and I was talking to this couple that, you know, they had gone all year and had only won their first game in this last tournament. And I feel for you, believe it or not, because, you know, we kind of have an idea what that feels like. We got to taste a little bit of that early on in my oldest, her career, of like just things not going how you hoped for, things not going how you worked for, and you're trying to piece some things together, right? So yeah, we're fortunate, you know, and we never, ever, ever take it for granted because, you know, the world of competition is tough. One minute you're on the highest of highs, the next minute you could be on the lowest of lows. It's just the nature of the beast, right? So my youngest, they were able to win their division. And stylish fashion, you know, kind of ran the table, and it's good. It's a blessing to see the smiles and everybody's taking pictures, and you know, it's all fun and good. And my middle daughter, God, just let it slip away. Yeah, it's tough, man. They lost the championship to a team we had played a couple times before, very close, very well coached team out of Florida. And you know, just that painful lesson, because, you know, this is all about lessons if you allow it to be. I know for some folks, anytime you lose, the sky falls. I'll encourage you to get a grip because it's, you know, like I say, if you think you're going to come out of the world of competition unscathed, without some bumps and bruises and physical bumps and bruises, emotional, mental, you know, just in the innate nature of competition, you're wrong. And we learned that lesson. You know, we were up, and, you know, kind of in dominating fashion in the third set of the championship. And man, went from 12 to 5 to 14 to 9, and we lost. And it's tough. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think that group will learn so much from that experience, you know, that that'll probably carry them a little bit longer than another championship. And I'll say this for about them, because it's I love that group. It's a pretty cool, unique group. They it's not like what you would imagine when you hear, hey, a team won 3 qualifiers and was a favorite to win a 4th. Like, they've been in some adverse situations to lay claim to that. So it's not, and that's what makes it cool, is it's not like they just go out there and everybody lays down and they steamroll teams. Like, they have to work for it. They have to battle for it. And, you know, every little thing that you can imagine happens, happens. You know, the ball drops our way. We make a play at the right time, an unbelievable play. We take care of business, all of that stuff that goes into being able to do that. They do that at a high rate. And the majority of the time, we come out on the other end of that. So, you know, for them, I think that's a great building block moving into, in, you know, nationals. And like I said, nobody died. So, you know, we get over it and we keep moving. And then 13-year-old, they got it done. It was really cool. As illustrious as their tenure has been. So a good chunk of those girls have been together since 11. And then, you know, 11s was half of the year. And I don't, forgive me if I've shared this, I don't think I have, but half of our 11s year was not good. We were, you know, one of the worst teams in the region. And then we got some things together and then bounced back, qualified for nationals. And, you know, the storyline, storybook, you know, from worst to quote unquote first, you know, first in parentheses, because it wasn't first, but like, you know, 5th in the country from worst, one of the worst, is a unbelievable achievement. Rolled into last year, had a lot of expectations, new girls coming in from outside the club, piecing some stuff together, and, you know, did really well, took our lumps, you know, got exposed, bumps and bruises along the way. I know I disclosed some of that way back. You know, Triple Crown was a pivotal moment for the group as a whole. And then just fighting and navigating how to keep growing and closing the volleyball gap. And then this year was kind of a clicking into place. Another year of strong relationships, another year of maturity, another year of development, another year of the game slowing down, even though the net's higher. And out of the gate, they've played with a sense of calm, a sense of confidence, just intelligence, and, you know, quite honestly, just fierce domination, you know, kind of attitude. And even playing up, you know, a year or two, you know, they brought that same energy. You see the mistakes roll off their back more. And it's been really cool to see those young ladies reap the benefits of the work that they've put in. And we've been doing our best to continually remind them, this is about the work you've done. Nobody has magically made you one of the best teams in the country. Nobody has, you know, no matter how bad a parent or coach might want to just wave a wand and put you at the top of the the food chain, that doesn't happen. So helping them identify all of these things that we've been through, the good and the not so good, have all tied into this moment. And so as they've navigated that, the one thing that they, you know, hadn't pieced together was a qualifier win. You know, go toe-to-toe with some of the best in the country and, in, you know, the Triple Crown and, you know, take second place in that. And then, you know, kind of dominate different instances throughout the season, play at a high level all season. And, you know, you lose one here. It just, the margin for error gets so much slimmer the older they get. It's not the end of the world. You know, as long as you, you know, accomplish the goal, you know, the goal, qualify for nationals, the goal, be in a position to win a national championship, right? You take those along the way, but you still always want to be able to, you know, get one. So, you know, they played phenomenal all weekend. And you'll have to forgive me. It's a little bit of a blur 2 weeks out, but they played really well. They played some tough competition. Like I said, some teams that were like coming there with a purpose and intention of we have to get a bid, which always raises the stakes. And we were able to play a great team out of Dallas that had beaten us in February at Triple Crown, and to be able to play them, a well-coached team, very, very sound and athletic, and a close one in three that we won in the championship. And I say the Redmonds weren't able to get the in-house three-peat, or, you know, whatever you would call that. But it was cool even as a group of sisters, because each of them have been in this position, right? You know, two of your sisters win and you don't, right? So my oldest experienced that in St. Louis, my middle experienced that in Kansas City, and then my youngest experienced that when they went to Dallas, right? So, you know, when you win at a high rate, it's just good to be able to have that. Hey, we didn't take last, but we also know second kind of feels like last sometimes, and we can appreciate when we come in first. And all that does, when you let it, is help them identify and appreciate the work that they put in to enjoy that so much. So it was all in all a good time. And now we're getting prepped for nationals, and I wish nationals was sooner, but I'm sure there's some logistical scheduling reasons why season ends in April and it's not until June, but life happens. So we're playing basketball and all of that stuff. But that's the recap. That's what's going on. You know, I've said this before. If you're listening to this and you're in the volleyball world, if you're listening to this and you're, yeah, maybe your season lines up with volleyball and your season has come to an end, take some time to reflect. You know, take some time to think about what went well this year, and then take some time to think about what didn't go so well this year, and piece together a plan on how to make the next year better. And I would encourage you, parents, helping your athlete, if they're not of age to do it on their own. And I mean, quite honestly, if you're hands-on enough, you can help them even if they are of age, because, you know, I know there's some weird circumstances out there, but you just have years of perspective on them just from a thinking standpoint, hopefully, that you can help them sift through the experience. And you can help them shape a realistic view of it, not a distorted view of what took place, right? Because there's some good and there's some not so good in every situation, okay? But chew on that. Think about that. So your action steps into the next season can be more focused and deliberate and intentional, right? Because that's how you can get, you know, very specific results. But, and if you're getting prepped for nationals, don't lose sight of the prize, man. Don't lose sight of what you've put the work in for to get you to that place, and realize it's going to take probably a little bit more to climb the national mountain when you're facing some of the toughest competition in the country. So I hope that is something that, you know, a little nugget that can kind of chew, you can chew on as you're like I said, moving towards championship season or moving towards, you know, next season. What I wanted to close with, because that's all, that's it, man. I just wanted to check in with y'all and talk about this because, you know, it's good. It's just about consistency. It's about staying in communication with each other and, you know, providing some wisdom and some insight, some education for folks to help have the best experience possible you can have in success. So, or, you know, in sports, which hopefully leads to success. But these next three, because, you know, here, and then this is a reminder, disclaimer, what are we about over here? Obviously, you know, there is a major faith component in what we do. We want our young people, our families, honestly, coaches, whoever, to know God and, you know, our faith. And us living out our faith is pivotal in everything that we're doing here. And it just so happens, my experience, my skill sets, you know, my journey has put me in this space of dealing with athletes and families of athletes and coaches, because we're on one of the biggest platforms in the world at the end of the day. You know, sports is a trillion, multi-trillion dollar industry when you look at the whole thing top to bottom, right? And the amount of influence we have in our journey as athletes, I mean, in our journey as coaches, and just naturally as parents that produce both of those populations, it's important that for us that the God's in the equation in this thing, and that we're doing our best to use his principles, his values in interacting with each other. So, you know, that's one thing. The athletic development part is another, because at the end of the day, if you're going to do something, you should want to do it well and to the best of your ability, to the highest degree. Not everybody believes that. That's why I'm saying this is a cornerstone athletics philosophy. Some people just play for fun, and that's cool. To me, there's nothing more fun than winning. And there also, just because you do it for fun doesn't mean you don't do it the right way. You know what I'm saying? I hope that I don't know if that makes sense. Hopefully it does. But anyway, so we develop our athletes, we develop our coaches, we help them continue to not only be the best that they can be in what they do and their craft, but they also are honoring the game with how they're doing it. And when you put the overarching, you know, God aspect, spiritual aspect above that, that encompasses also like your conduct and how you go play, how you coach, how you interact with these other folks that you deal with. So that seems like it's a lot, but it's really not. And it's really human at the base level of it. And that's where the challenge comes, is because humans are messy. We are only, quite honestly, I don't want to say that. Like we are a big combination of our experiences, our beliefs, our values, our perspective, and all of this. And sometimes a lot of us don't bother to evolve in any of those ways. Whether that's because we don't think we can, or we don't think we need to, right? And what it creates, though, is a broken dynamic. So one of these episodes that I've recorded way back when talks about the dynamics that exist in sport and how they're kind of fractured. So I'm going to talk, and if you need to write this down, feel free. I'm going to try to do my best to paint the picture without a graphic and all of that. So right now, I would say there are a large majority of people who experience what I'm going to call a siloed experience. excuse me, they experience the world of sports kind of disjointedly. And we'll just focus on three pieces because these are the three stakeholders that exist in this thing. You know, athletes are over here on the right and they have an athlete experience. And then the parents are over here on the left and they have a parent experience. And then the coaches, leaders, whoever you want to jumble into that pot, directors, you name it, ADs, I don't care. We can put them in the middle, but in my mind, they're in the middle, but below the parents and the athletes in their own little silo bubble experience. And that's kind of how I've seen things move, you know, is athletes just kind of, they show up and they know what they know and they do kind of what they're taught or what they think they should do. And sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. And it's a, you know, that's that. Or they're allowed to do whatever they want or think or feel, whether it's right or wrong. And that's the experience. Okay. Parents. They don't know what they don't know. And then they think they know. And my kid is good, so I shouldn't have to do this. Or, you know, the coach didn't do this for my kid and it's all on the coach. And, or if the kid's not doing something, it's not them, it's the kid. And if the kid's not doing something, it's not the kid, it's the coach. And it's a, I think you see where I'm going. And then the coaches, the leaders. Some of them take the mantle serious, coaching and teaching and developing not just an athlete, but a human. Some of them, few of them. Some of them, I just coach X baseball. I'm just the baseball coach. And I don't have any say or sway or influence over that young person. And they're hands off. And some of them are egomaniacs. Parents are egomaniacs too, FYI. But some of them are egomaniacs. Some of them are dictators. Some of them, it's my way or the highway. All of this. Some of them are overly passive. Well, if I do this, then he's going to leave and he's a really good athlete. And what about the whole? And then again, there's that. Some of them are dealing with crazy parents. No matter what I do, it's me. Every game we lose, the world's ending. Every time your kid comes out the game, the world ends. Every time we make an adjustment and you don't like it, the world ends, and all of this stuff. So these siloed experiences that, and I could go on, but I'm, you know, for the sake of time, and you can't see me. So I know it because I've had these conversations. I've observed it. I've been involved in it in different capacities throughout the years as an athlete and as a coach. And much like our society is very individualistic and very siloed, so is the world of sports. It's not a surprise. But that doesn't mean because that's what it is, that's what it should be or supposed to be. So like here, Cornerstone is, I think it's a Venn diagram, I believe, where, you know, you take those same circles and you merge them, and not completely though, you merge them, and there's that spot, and it's usually a smaller portion of the merge where the coaches and the athletes and the parents are all synergistically working together towards the thing. The development of the kids, the sports experience, the opportunity for success at a high level, you name it. But there's that synergistic piece that when we merge the three, that's the only way we can create that. But what's cool about it is when you also, and then you guys got to use your imagination. More people need to use it. I'm trying to challenge you to use it. When you do that, you can draw three overlapping circles on a page, and you'll see that synergistic spot in the middle. But you'll also see, if we are doing the parent, athlete, coach bubbles, there's a spot that's just synergistic between the coach and the parent. And there's a spot that's synergistic between the athlete and the coach. And there's a spot that's synergistic between the athlete and the parent. And that is, in part, a very undetailed, not deep look at what we're trying to help facilitate in the world of sport. If parents and coaches can't establish a sense of rapport and trust that's not solely based on the outcome in the game, it's going to be a very volatile road for that team, for that organization, for the parent, the coach, you name it. Conversely, if a coach and an athlete can't establish a deeper level of rapport other than the coach just teaching the kid the stuff, the sport, right? The old adage, and I don't know actually how old it is, but nobody cares about what you know until they know how much you care. That you can't think any more deeply than that, cool, but like that's something that you can, right? Like that part. And then parents and the kid, the ever evolving swinging back and forth dynamic. That's that, right? There's a level of appreciation that each athlete needs to and should have for the sacrifices that their parents make, parent, whoever makes for them to do what they do and hopefully love to do, the experiences they get to experience. And then as parents, we have to be aware enough to realize that for a lot of us, every aspect of these kids' life is very different than the same aspects when we were growing up. Sports was different for me than it is going to be for my children. School and the dynamics of school are different. The things, the day-to-day socially that they have access to, it's different. So being able to create that synergy as well then makes the whole picture a whole lot more dynamic and fluid and effective. So what we're going to talk about over the next three is, and again, obviously you know this because you are listening, this is my opinion. And my opinions are based on experience. They're based on conversations of other people with different experiences. They're based on observations. Take it with a grain of salt, as you should do with anything you hear. Do your own investigating, do your own observing. But we're going to talk about each of those dynamics and what on a whole doesn't seem to be in place and what should be there, and how it can kind of fit together to where more people are experiencing that synergistic vibe as opposed to a disjointed, I'm over here, you're over there, coach is here, and there's almost this kind of adverse me versus me type thing. So we're going to talk about it. And I hope it brings fruit. I hope it does. You know, for again, whether you're a coach, whether you're a parent, or again, if you're an athlete listening to this with your parent, take something from it. Figure out how you can apply something, and we'll rock from there. So, man, I appreciate y'all. I hope you enjoyed story time this morning. I might make that a segment one of these days. But yeah, man. That's just a small sliver of the stuff that is afforded to you when you just immerse yourself in the game. You know, you get to tell funny, cool stories like that that you remember for a long time. So I hope the rest of your day is blessed. This is Coach Steve. This is the Cornerstone Athletics Podcast, and we'll talk soon.